Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films Jay Kelly, Sherratt, and Riefenstahl.
I'd like to start out today by talking about the new film by Noah Baumbach, a pretty major American filmmaker, deals sort of on the independent side of things, makes sort of smallish movies most of the time, and is, I think, you know, a talented filmmaker. I used to know his mother quite well, so maybe I'm prejudiced a little bit, but he's a good, solid American filmmaker. His latest movie is not exactly little in the sense it's pretty long. It's well over 2 hours long. It's called Jay Kelly. I personally am not fond of titles like that, but it's just somebody's name because they really don't say anything about the movie. But in this case, it really kind of does say something about the movie because this is the movie all about the character Jay Kelly, who in this fictional movie is a big movie star, a hugely famous movie star, very well known for action films, but versatile apparently, and the movie just presents him as a really terrific movie star and a lovely guy in various ways as well. And he is played by George Clooney, who of course is also a very major movie star like Jay Kelly, and a very famous one, and is a fairly versatile star. He's played all different kinds of roles and is very well known for being just a really, really nice guy in his private life and in his public life as well. So this is what we have. We have George Clooney playing Jay Kelly, and we also have various people involved with him as a movie star, that is, with the fictional character. Oh, there's his agent and just all kinds of people played by many fine actors. Adam Sandler is in it. Emily Mortimer is in it. Billy Crudup is in it. Yeah, a good, solid supporting cast in this film, along with George Clooney. But the movie really revolves around George Clooney, and he is absolutely the central part of the movie. And also in the film are a little bit of family stuff in here as well. He has a young daughter, for example, who he's trying to sort of keep an eye on, even though she's getting very independent. She goes off to Europe on a sort of a tour, and then he decides to sort of follow her there, and there's a little bit of intrigue about that. So all this stuff is going on. I should mention that the movie was not only directed by Noah Baumbach, but it was written by him along with Emily Mortimer, who plays one of the major roles in the film. So we have a movie here which is very much about acting and which is very much revolves around the idea of acting, but also even more than that, of being a movie star. What is it like when you are a big movie star? Is it fun? Is it taxing? Is it trying? And also we have the idea of balancing your career as a movie star, which apparently takes up almost all of your time. You got to not only star in the movie, but you have to deal with fans and stuff like that, balancing that with family obligations and just the idea of having a private life. So how is Jay Kelly as an actual movie to watch? Well, I found the whole thing kind of sentimental and self-important. I like George Clooney's acting a lot. I think he's a good star. I like the way that he takes stands on public issues from time to time and has a good, solid political persona, even though it's secondary to his acting persona. I like the idea that he is so well known as being just a lovely guy who will stop and talk with fans in the street and stuff like that. So I think George Clooney is just fine. But this film, by making him into Jay Kelly, and notice the way those names have the same sort of, not rhyme, but rhythm. George Clooney, Jay Kelly. This Jay Kelly character is obviously meant to be a version of George Clooney. And that is where I kind of found the movie just let me down. It's too celebratory of George Clooney. It's too celebratory of Jay Kelly as being like George Clooney. It's about, oh, how tough it can be to be a movie star and how difficult it is. And gosh, you have to do so many things and you can't always do the things you want to do and stuff like that. And that would be fine maybe as a subject for a movie. Oh, a little bit trite, maybe a little hackneyed, a little cliched, but it would be okay. But the fact that we're also clearly meant to see Jay Kelly as a version of George Clooney just struck me as, well, again, sort of self-important. I didn't like the way the movie was just so involved in celebrating this wonderful movie star who is like this other wonderful movie star and just painting a very monochromatic kind of one-color portrait of this guy as being sort of a secular saint in certain ways. Not in all ways. And he has his flaws and failings, yes. But I just found the movie was, well, just too much of a worshipful view of the movie star, of George Clooney, the real movie star, through Jay Kelly, the fictional movie star. It's a very well-made movie, although it is much too long. Didn't have to be anywhere near that long. Could have been a lot shorter. Well-made, well-acted by all concerned, including George Clooney, but the whole thing just struck me as being a little bit too worshipful. I would have liked a movie that had a little bit more perspective, and that is what I found missing in Jay Kelly. But if you're a George Clooney fan, you'll have a wonderful time watching it. You'll just have a bath in all this wonderful George Clooney-like stuff. Now I would like to turn to a Spanish movie. In fact, it's Spain's entry in the Academy Awards race. We'll see if it ends up getting anywhere there. It's a terrific movie, one of the absolute very best movies I've seen this year. It doesn't work all the way through, but it's really, really a good film most of the way and intermittently all the way. Directed by Oliver Lax, a very, very fine filmmaker who's done very splendid work in the past, also co-written by Oliver Lax. And it's a movie that has a whole lot of suspense in it, that is for sure. So here's what Surratt is about. It starts off in northern Africa, in Morocco, the southern part of Morocco, and it starts with a rave, the idea of the rave, of the huge, gigantic sort of stone dance party has an important role in this film. And the movie starts off in a rave. And there is all this music blasting out into the desert. And there are all these people dancing and having a wonderful time. But one person is not having such a wonderful time. He is the main character of the movie. And he is there not to dance and to have a great time and to be involved in the rave and all of that. He is involved because he and his little boy, his very young son, are searching for his missing daughter, his daughter, boy's sister. She's missing. They are searching for her. They don't know what happened to her. And here they are wandering through Morocco looking for this young woman. Can't imagine that they'll ever manage to find her, but that's what they're doing. And they're looking for her at this rave because they think that's the kind of place where she might have shown up. Well, they meet some of the ravers, a group of ravers, a group of people who are there just having a good time. And they're sort of leftover hippies. They're into drugs and stuff like that. And so our main character and his little boy get involved with these ravers. Eventually the military show up and they dissolve the whole thing. They send everybody out. They're taking people in there. They're just breaking the whole thing up. They don't want this rave to go on. So those leftover hippies, they managed to get away. They managed to escape. They managed to go off on their own in their van. And our main character, whose name is Luis, by the way, and the little boy, follow in their van, which is somewhat smaller, and the little dog is with them. And now they're going off into the desert farther, and now they're away from the rave. Okay. They're still searching for that daughter, and now they're involved with these other ravers, and they have all kinds of adventures. My gosh, they get stuck, and the vans won't move, and they get threatened by people, and all kinds of things like that happen. At the same time, they have some nice times along the way with their new acquaintances, and they're getting to know each other, and it's kind of interesting. Okay, so that's what happens there. And so most of this movie is this adventure of this main character and a little boy looking for a missing young woman and getting involved with some other mostly young folks who are very different from the way they are, but they manage to help each other. There becomes kind of a mutual aid thing. Along the way, as I said, there is suspense, there are adventures, there are little incidents. Then all of that is absolutely fascinating to watch. It is beautifully photographed. the desert landscapes and the other landscapes come across very, very vividly. And we have these characters involved in something that is really easy to relate to, the search for the young woman, in which those raiders get involved as well. They're helping out as well. And you don't know how the search will eventually turn out, whether they'll ever manage to find this woman as they wander from one place to another looking for her. The movie, I think, runs into troubles in the last part, which is far and away the most dramatic part and the most suspenseful part. And I don't want to say too much here, give spoilers, but let's just say they come across a region which is a minefield where there are explosives buried just under the ground, and the danger is now really intense and really acute. I felt this comes up a little abruptly, and even though it's very suspenseful, it's not handled quite as gracefully as it might have been. That said, most of Surratt, spelled S-I-R-A-T, most of Surratt is a very involving and suspenseful and engaging and beautifully photographed and beautifully acted movie, and I had a really, really good time watching it. Surratt, it's a really, really terrific movie. Seek it out. One of the absolute best movies of 2025, at least so far, and we're almost at the end of the year now. Finally, a documentary called Riefenstahl, written and directed by André Spier, and it is about the great, some say, and the evil, some say, filmmaker Leni Riefenstahl, who was a filmmaker back in the 1930s, and she was heavily involved with Adolf Hitler's regime in Germany. Now, Leni Riefenstahl is known primarily for a couple of really major, very long classics of the 1930s, a movie called Triumph of the Will, which is a film about the huge Nuremberg Nazi rally, movie released in 1935, and the movie called Olympia, a two-part film about the 1936 Olympics, which was released originally in 1938. These are major, major classics of world cinema, and they are major classics of the documentary genre in particular. Before she made those, Leni Riefenstahl was an actor and a mountain climber who starred in a number of mountain films, which were very popular in Germany back at the time, where she would have adventures in dramatic films where she's climbing mountains and getting involved in all sorts of adventures on mountains. So she was a multi-talented person, an actor, a mountain climber, a movie director, and a very important one. And she lived a really, really long life and became a photographer and did a lot of work in Africa and had all of these various adventures. But hanging over all of this was the great cloud of her very close connection with Adolf Hitler personally and with the Nazi regime in general, way back in that era, that horrific era of European and world history. Now, there was a documentary about Leni Riefenstahl back in the early 90s, which was very well received. It was called The Wonderful, Horrible Life of Leni Riefenstahl. I felt it was a very well-made documentary, but I thought it let her off too easily with her Nazi connection. And I actually feel the same thing about the new film, which is simply called Riefenstahl. I feel that it really should be harder on her. That said, it gives you a very clear sense of her very close ties to Hitler and to the Nazi regime. Now, she denied this. She always said, "I was never really a Nazi." She even said, "Oh, I never even read Mein Kampf, Adolf Hitler's notorious book. Never even read it, didn't care about it. I was just a filmmaker, and yes, they gave me money to make my movies, and that's all I cared about. And I didn't really care about the Nazis, and I didn't really get involved with them. And I was just taking their money and this and that." A lot of which is obviously really untrue. It has been documented that she boasted of reading Mein Kampf back in the Nazi era and talked about it and how important it was as a book. So this stuff about how she never read it was just not true. Also, she played down her connection personally with Hitler, her connection with the Nazis, and clearly she was smack in the middle of all of that. And she claimed that she was making Triumph of the Will, that huge movie about the huge Nazi rally back in the 1930s. It was just an exercise in artistic filmmaking. Well, obviously, it was also an exercise in glorifying the Nazis, which it does very effectively, I must say. So, a very mixed kind of a person, Leni Riefenstahl, and I think it's really important that her career be examined and re-examined every now and then in the movies, and this movie, Riefenstahl, does that very, very effectively, although I'll repeat, I think it lets her off too easily. That said, she had a terrific long career. She did a lot of things. And those early documentaries of hers, Olympia and Triumph of the Will, are very, very important classics of world cinema. Years ago, I heard a film scholar describe Leni Riefenstahl as a pornographer of the spirit. And you really do see that in this movie, how her early films glorified the body and suppressed everything that was unpleasant about the human body. It was very, as we say nowadays, ableist. And it was glorifying Nazi prowess and Nazi might. And that is the horrific thing about it. That is the horrific thing about Leni Riefenstahl's career. I'm glad to see this movie out. It will remind people and educate people about the Nazis and about Riefenstahl's close ties with them. I wish it was a little bit harder on her personally, but it's a very interesting movie and well worth watching. Riefenstahl, an unpleasant documentary, but a very important one. So that is my somewhat fictional, somewhat documentary story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films J. Kelly, Sharat, and Riefenstahl.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.